book of Matthew, and just start there and go to some other places. Just want to tell you a little story. My wife isn't here. She was out visiting yesterday and got a witness to a young man, and just kind of tell you how things work and how the gospel works and how we need to be working is this young man, his brother and sister came to church for a couple years, and we got him to come, I think, two or three times, just briefly. Wasn't super interested. Then we had a football game. He played in the football game and continued to work on it, and just never really saw him. He didn't really live with the other two kids that we would see, and those kids moved away to Covington, who used to come on the bus fairly regularly. And so one of those kids invited Kiana to church and a long time ago, and so that's and then anyway, my wife met that boy, started witnessing to him. It turns out he just got another gospel track, and from some other church or somewhere. We don't know where he got it from, got a gospel track. And we had tried to witness to him. Brian had witnessed to him recently. So he came to our church a couple times, heard the gospel. He probably got witnessed to somewhere along the way by us. Then Brian witnessed to him the other day. We talked to him several times, talked to him at the football game, and you just keep planting. And I kept working in the family. He came for a big day. I don't remember what big day it was, but he came for a big day, but never really came faithfully. And finally, yesterday, he got saved. And he was crying, and he was excited, and he immediately called one of the other young men in the house out there and tried to witness to him. And I want you to understand, this isn't not everybody's a labor that you meet them, they get saved, you know, just like that. It's a labor. And sometimes you plant seeds, and sometimes somebody else has to water them. And that's why we got to keep on going and keep on going and don't get weary in well-doing. For in due season you'll reap if you faint not. We think we'll get him to church. He's this morning he wasn't there. He told us he wasn't going to be there, but we're thinking next Sunday we can get him. So if you can just pray, and we got to keep working with people and keep on trying. And he's got a kid now, and he's 20, and, you know, but God can still do a great work in his life. We just got to keep on going and wait till God's got him ready, and we want to keep on working like that. We're going to be in Matthew 5 briefly. Matthew 5. Why don't I have you stretch? Stand up for a sec. Just get your legs stretched so you don't get sleepy. And we'll read Matthew 5 and verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a bushel and put it under the bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Who is the light of the world? Okay. Verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. Okay, let's try again. Ready? We'll grade in a curve. Who is the light of the world? You're the light of the world. That's what it says right there. I think you were spacing off while I was reading. Are you hungry, or is the person next to you distracting you, or what is it? Or is it just plain old ADD? You're the light of the world, it says right there. And a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Now let's turn to the book of John. And John chapter 8. And John chapter 8. And let's go back to verse 12. Jesus spake again to them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. We get into John 1, where it says he was a light. And it says right there, Jesus is the light of the world. So your first time, you were right, but for the wrong question, which means you're wrong. And Jesus is the light of the world. You were correct. And we are also the light of the world. But that light, according to John 1, is Christ. And he says, I am the light of the world. And if you go forward in John and go to chapter 9, in verse 5, as long as I am the world, I am the light of the world. So now we understand. Jesus is the light of the world. as long as he's in the world. But when he left the world, the light left. But now he says, you're the light of the world. And let your light so shine before men that they may see your good work and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. So we've got to shine the light of Jesus Christ. There's other verses that say that. And we are supposed to shine his light, not our light. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll talk about becoming glow in the dark. Father, thank you for the chance to preach your word. I pray we'd shine your light in this world. I pray tonight the purpose of this message, though maybe not the longest message, Lord, I pray it'd be the most helpful message for us tonight, that it would be practical. And I pray that your spirit would help us to glow, Father, and help us to know how to do that. And I pray you'd speak to us in a powerful way and do a mighty work in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. Thank you. Well, Jesus is the light of the world. He glows very brightly. Revelation 1:16, if you're in Sunday school, I'll read it, but you heard it this morning in Sunday school, about Jesus' face, his countenance, and the countenance basically means your face. It shines as the sun that shines in its strength. And he had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shining in his strength. Jesus' face shines like the sun shining in his strength. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God is very, 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 very bright. He has his face, even Jesus, when you see him in the glorified state, when John saw him, his face was shining like the sun shines, which is pretty bright. And seeing a face with a sun shining face, brightly standing out there, is incredibly bright. We need to get the glow of God from the Lord's countenance in our lives. We need to get the glow of God from the Lord's countenance in our lives. And God talks about his countenance, and his countenance shines down on us. And we're supposed to get that glow upon us, and then we are supposed to go and shine that light. 2 Corinthians, and we'll do a little bit of a Bible study here, and just show you some things around the Bible about God's glory or his shine or his light or his countenance that shines down on us, that is supposed to make us be blessed and bright. When God looks at you, when God's face is upon you and he's pleased with you, he looks down at you and his light of his face, his countenance is shining down upon you. And that shining down is like a cold, rainy day when all of a sudden the sun breaks through the clouds and the sun hits you and you suddenly everything brightens up and you feel happy and you warm up quickly and you feel like your whole mood can change. That countenance of God and the shining of God's light, the light of God's countenance is supposed to be shining down upon us, and God wants us to do that. And you get that from seeing the face of God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, he's going to talk a little bit about Moses here, and verse 13, and not as Moses which put a veil over his face, and the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is, could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. And verse 18, but we all with open face, no veil, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. You remember I preached a message on this subject and seeing him as he is. You look at the face of God with no veil in between, and you look and see the glory of God in his face, and you are changed into the same image. You become like God when you're looking into his face, because that light shines upon you, and you get that light, and it changes you. You are changed, for we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. If I could illustrate this in the simplest sort of way, is these things here. We've got here this, your adults, this is for the children, by the way, adults. This is our favorite toys. I watched adults walking around with this over their head, just like the kids, and playing with this and going, this is cool. Oh, what are these? This is for kids. But this here is glow-in-the-dark. Whatever the glow-in-the-dark material is, you're very familiar with it. Now, does this thing have light of its own? No, but when you get it in a light and you hold it up in a light and then you turn the light off, it shines, that somehow absorbs the light that shines on it, and then the light comes off, it is now going to have the light that was shining on it. Follow? It's not its own light. It got it from being around a bright light. So if I go over here, I turn these lights off. Hopefully. Ooh, we got a little bit of glow here. I didn't tell you to turn that light off. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And so you see, this doesn't have its own light. It's got light from the lights that were shining on it. Right here we have, ooh, these are airsoft BBs that are glow in the dark. These are really fun to shoot at night. We've got here, it's not working very good, but this Brooke found, this is glow in the dark lipstick she found at Treasure Hunt. It's not glowing right now. You can turn the lights on. You can see how these things glow, but not of their own light. They don't have a light in themselves. There's no electricity in these things here. They get them because they are in the light, and the light shines on them, and they absorb the light, and then they can go out and have light because they were shined upon by a bright light. And, the, you know, when you want to get a really bright, you hold them right up near the bright light for a long time, then you turn off the lights real quick, you go, you run in the bathroom and close the door, and then they shine really, really bright because that's what happens when they get around that. That's how you are the light of the world. God is light, but while he's in the world, he was a light, but now he's the light in heaven, and you get around him, and he shines his light on you, and it gets very bright. We were on vacation one time, and we had one of our family members had been studying and getting all kinds of the astronomy club and all kinds of emails and stuff, and there was supposed to be a meteor shower that night. And Josiah, being the mischievous boy he was, grabbed these glow-in-the-dark things, and we're all sitting out in the dark, and he starts grabbing these things and throwing them. And, oh, I saw a shooting star! And the guy's like, you know, I know what kind of shooting star that is. And and they're like, wow, that's incredible. Man, that thing flew all the way across the sky. And they sat there and tried to figure it out for a long time. And he kept coming out with those things. You know, these things here, you don't just go buy them and they're charged up. There's no battery in them. They get a light from something else. And we get changed and we behold the glory of God and the shine of God, and we become a light, and it changes us. Let me take you some verses in Psalms that talks about that countenance of God shining upon us and what it does for us, because you need to get the countenance of God shining upon you. Psalms, and chapter 4, verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. Lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. In the Bible, as we read these verses and as you read Psalms especially, but you'll get familiar with the passages and the wordage of the Bible, you will find sometimes God's countenance is not shining upon his people. And it becomes very dark. And they know that God is not blessing them, and God's face, his countenance is not shining upon them, almost like God just looking down and not looking at them. And all of a sudden, you know what it's like when all of a sudden the clouds come overhead and it gets dark all of a sudden? That's what many people's life is like. Their life isn't necessarily they're being killed or they're dying of cancer or everything's terrible and disastrous. They just, there's a shadow over their life. And they can feel it, and they don't have God's blessing, and they don't have God working because they do not have the countenance of God shining upon them. The psalmist realizes this and says, Lord, lift up your countenance on us. We need you to look at us. We need you shining down with the brightness of your face and the glory of God coming down upon us, and we need to lift up your countenance. I read that again. Thou hast put gladness in mine. Verse 6. There be many that say, who will show us any good? Lord, lift up the light of thy countenance upon us. He wants that light of God looking upon them. Psalms 11. Psalms 11 and verse 7. It says, for the righteous Lord loveth righteousness, and his countenance doth behold the upright. His countenance doth behold the upright. If you're upright, and we'll get back to this a little later, but if you're upright, God is watching you with the shining of his face, and his glory is lighting upon you. And that changes you. Remember, the glory of God changes you. And you get that glory, and then you take that glory into the world. Let's go to Psalms 44. And verse 3. For they have... got not the land in possession by their own sword, neither did their own arm save them, but thy right hand and thine arm and the light of thy countenance, because thou hadst favor unto them. So Israel didn't get all these things because of their strength or anything they had of their sword. It was by God's right arm. It was by God's strong hand. It was by God's countenance being upon them. And the face of God is looking down on his people and saying, I'm looking at you, and the shine of God is coming down upon you. And that is a warmth. That is a brightness that encharges you with the glory of God, with light, with strength, with blessing. And you want that face upon you. Psalms 42. And verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. The help of his countenance. Okay, he is depressed in this chapter in Psalms 42. He's depressed, and he says, why am I so depressed? God is going to help me, and my soul shouldn't be cast down, and I will be able to praise him in the future for the help of his countenance looking at me. The help of his countenance. Now, in the same chapter, as you go forward a little farther, and you go down to verse 11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. You know, God was the help of his countenance, his face. His face was different, and his countenance changed. Why? His countenance was broken. His countenance was sorrowful. His soul was cast down, and God's countenance came down on him. And he says, God's the help of my countenance. He's a lifter of my head, the Bible says. When you're down and depressed, God is a lifter of your head. His countenance shines on your countenance, and now he's the help of your countenance because he helps you. And Psalms 43. Again, in the same passage and same area, using these same phrases, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. And he says in verse 5, why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, who is the health of my countenance and my God. So he is the help of his countenance, and he blesses that countenance and changes his countenance through God's countenance, because he says, I know I'm going to get the help of God's countenance, so he's helped my countenance with his countenance. And probably the verse I like best, and I've prayed many times, is Psalm 67. In verse 1, I pray this verse often, God be merciful unto us and bless us and cause his face to shine upon us. There are some times when the face of God is not shining upon us. When God's face shines upon us, it's revival. When God's face shines upon us, a life is changed. When God's face shines upon us, the joy of the Lord comes. We'll read that in a minute. When God's face is shining upon us, and he prays, Lord God, bless us and help us, and cause your face to shine upon us. Why? That thy saving health may be known upon all the nations. Verse 2, that thy way may be known upon the earth, and thy saving health among the nations. He says, God, if you would shine your face upon us, great things would happen, and your saving power would be known to all the nation. That is what we need. We need God's face to shine upon us. But many times, the face of God is, the Bible says, sometimes the face of God is against us. And sometimes God is just not looking, just saying, you know what? I know you're there. I know everything is happening in life, but I am not smiling down upon you. I am, instead of. And he's not looking at us, and he's not shining his countenance in the light of the glory of God coming upon us, because we are not walking uprightly, as it said, because we are not pleasing him, because we're not doing the things that will get his face to shine upon us. And when his face shines upon us, we get the power of God, and now we have the ability with that light and that power to go forth and shine God's light into somebody's life, and they have an impact on them through the power of God in us. So he prays, God, bless us and help us and cause your face to shine upon us that we can do great things for you, Lord. We need that in our lives. Verse Psalms 89. Psalms 89. And verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. In thy name shall they rejoice all the day, and in thy righteousness shall they be exalted. He says, these people who are blessed know the joy of God's countenance, and they walk in the light of his countenance. And they're very blessed people. They're very blessed people because they walk in the light of his countenance. You can see the countenance by how people are doing and how spiritual they are. You can see a difference in their very countenance because of the countenance of God. For example, Stephen. Stephen is preaching with great power, the Bible said. Stephen is one of the people the Bible says he was filled with the Spirit. And Stephen is filled with the Spirit, and he's preaching the gospel, and they're going to put him in jail, and they put him before the court, and they look at his face, and I think it's, let's see, Acts chapter 7, I think, is his sermon. So at the end of Acts chapter 6, it says they looked at his face, and his face looked like it was like glowing like the face of an angel. That's a person who had been getting the glory of God and the light of God and had the countenance of God upon them because they'd had that. Watch this. Look at Genesis chapter 4. Watch the other side and watch the countenance that's not doing right and the countenance that has no glory of God shining on it and the countenance is not looking into the face of God. Genesis chapter 4 and verse 5. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? His facial expression changed, and it fell down, and he was depressed, and he looked down, and his countenance was bad. Why? He didn't have the glory of God. God didn't accept his sacrifice. His sacrifice wasn't what God wanted. He tried to do his own thing. And you know what? The blessing of God was not upon him. And let me just say this. It's time Christians quit trying to fake and trying to manipulate by positive thinking and other things that they have the blessing of God and the power of God and things are going to be okay by your positive thinking. If your countenance is cast down and the light of God is not shining upon you, it's time to repent, not try to think positive thoughts. People so often say to me, you know, things are really bad right now, but I'm trying to think positive thoughts. Well, analyze it. If you find out they're bad right now because your actions repent, don't think positive thoughts. It doesn't help you. If you're bleeding to death, you say, you know what? I'm not going to think about it. I'm going to think I'm not bleeding to death. You'll bleed to death. And if something's wrong in your life and God is not blessing you, quit trying to think positive thoughts and say, what have I done, God? Lord, have I done something wrong that your hand is not upon me, that you aren't blessing me, that your countenance doesn't seem like it's upon me? You need to realize that we need to seek the and not be like Cain who goes and blames others and just goes around with the bratty face. It didn't get fixed and he ended up being a murderer. We need to go and say, you know what? I need the face of God shining upon me. I need the countenance of God. And there's many other ways the Bible expresses the face of God shining upon us. He expresses it through revival. He expresses it through the power of the Holy Spirit. He expresses it through so many ways. But you are to take God's light, the shining from God's countenance, and it's supposed to bless you. Of course, the most famous illustration of this is Exodus. And you want to know how to get God's face to shine upon you and how to get the glow of God upon you and have it change you and have God use you is Exodus 34. Moses got the glory of God so much upon him that he had to cover his face with a veil. Because when they looked at Moses, they saw the glow so powerfully it blinded them. It was this incredibly bright, powerful light, like a giant searchlight shining right in your face. And they said, we cannot look at Moses. Put something over that face because his face is glowing with God's countenance. And we see this in Exodus 34 and verse 29. It says, and it came to pass, and Moses came down from Mount Sinai with two tables of the testimony in Moses' hand. When he came down from the mountain, that Moses wist not at the skin of his face shone while he talked with him. Side note, those with the greatest power of God and the greatest presence of God usually don't know they have it. If you read history, you'll find many of the people in the middle of revival didn't know they're having revival because it was just normal. And because they were in the presence of God and they saw their own sins and their own weaknesses and their own failure. Listen, spirit-filled people usually are saying, well, I don't have more power. And Moses didn't even know his face was glowing when he came down. He didn't manipulate anything and make it up, did he? He didn't even know it. He didn't try to tell anybody. By the way, get enough power and presence and pleasure with God, you don't need to tell anybody. God will go ahead and speak it for you. And he wist not that his face shone while he talked with him. Verse 30, when Aaron and the children of Israel saw Moses, behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come nigh him. And Moses called him unto him, and Aaron and all the rulers of the congregation returned unto him, and Moses talked with them. And afterward, the children of Israel came nigh, and he gave them in commandment all that the Lord had spoken unto him in Mount Sinai. And till Moses had done speaking with him, he put a veil on his face. But when Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he took the veil off until he came out. Why? He didn't want anything between him and God. By the way, he didn't want a veil between the thing that needed to glow and the light. Nothing between me and my Savior. And verse 34, and Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him. He took the veil off until he came out, and he came out with and spake unto the children of Israel that which he was commanded. And the children of Israel saw the face of Moses, and the skin of Moses' face shone. And Moses put the veil upon his face again until he went back with him. Why did Moses have this glory and this glowing of God's countenance to such an extent that it was physically his skin was glowing on his face? It's very simple. Exodus 33 says why. Exodus 33, verse 11. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. And he turned again into the camp. But his servant Joshua, the son of Nun, the young man, departed not out of the tabernacle. We don't glow much anymore because there is not a shine upon us. We are not a city set on a hill that cannot be hid. We don't have the glowing of God upon us. We don't have that the joy that it talks about. We don't have that power that it talks about much anymore. You may have, if you've been a Christian for a long time, you may have met some people, older people from last generation whose faces glowed some, but not much anymore. And I want to say this. I've seen people who just came out of the world, who came out of a very wicked life, who are very immoral and had a very beat up, haggard, terrible looking face, and their whole countenance changed when they met God. But two things, in all the verses I just read you, two things got the glory of God on somebody. Two things made them so that they went like this and they glowed in the dark. And by the way, you're in the dark in this world. You're in the dark in this world, and it's time to glow. And it's time to get God to bless you and help you and cause his face to shine upon you. Two things. One, they walk uprightly. In other words, God's not going, oh, man. Oh. It's pretty simple. Number two, you go and look God in the face. That means you get alone with God, and you look him in the face, and talk to him. And most people don't have the glow of God because they are not looking in the face of God and talking to God and spending a good amount of time with him. And so God's face is not shining upon them. And they go out as something hidden, like this thing, like this lipstick that hasn't been too long around anything bright. By the way, Moses somewhere along the way went from a glowing face to an angry person that God said, you're not going to the promised land. Can I say this? This glow is not permanent. Doesn't matter if you used to have a great prayer life a year ago. Doesn't matter. You're not going to glow anymore. You ought to every single day go up and get in the presence of God. You'll find the presence of God in your life. You'll find God's face shining upon you. And you'll find the help of his countenance upon you. And you'll be going through life and you can just feel the warmth of God looking down and saying, I know it's hard. I know you're struggling. I know you have a battle. But I'm looking at you right now. And I'm paying attention to you right now. And I'm seeing what's happening right now. And my hand, look back in the back. Hey, whew, look up here. You will feel God's presence looking upon you. And you'll know, even though trials are coming, even though troubles are coming, even though battles are coming, you will sit there and you will say, you know what, God, I know your face is upon me. I wonder what you're going to do next. That's what you need more than you need $1 million. That's what you need more than you need a great job. That's what you need more than you need a great plan for life. You need to get the shining face of God going, I'm smiling down upon you, and God's blessing comes upon you, and you become the light of the world. That you walk out there, and God says, I've got a light in that darkness. I've got a light in that family. I've got a light in that city. I got a light in that church. I got someone who's been walking with me and walking uprightly, and they are glowing in the dark Christians. God bless us and help us and cause his face to shine upon us. It's very important that we have that. One more verse, Acts 2, and I'll finish up there. Guys, I've listened great. I appreciate you listening so well, I think. You're not amening, but I think you're listening. Acts 2, verse 28. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy. What's the next three words? With thy countenance. You want to have fullness of joy in your life? With God's countenance. That's what God says. God, you're going to be full of joy with my countenance. Would you just find a way? Turn off the stupid TV and all the junk you watch. Turn off the stupid internet and go and spend an hour a day looking in the face of God and say, God, let me tell you what I'm feeling. Lord, let me tell you my burdens. Lord, let me tell you my needs. Lord, let me ask you for some things. Let me pray for some people. Lord, let me tell you how good you've been to me. Let me praise you for things. Let me tell you a heartache I have, and stare in the face of God and look in the face of God and turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, and you will get a joy from God's countenance. And you might walk out of that room with the same problems you had when you walked into there, but you will have a joy, and you'll have a glow, and you'll say, you know what? Life's coming. I can handle it. God's face is shining on me. I have been in the presence of God. And pretty soon, you might be surprised when somebody walks up and says, what's different about you? You know, you just look happier, better. You just look, I mean, something's different. Yeah, you're looking in the face of God and you're changed from glory to glory. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we would know the joy of your countenance upon us. Lord, what price is too high? What thing is so fun that we would go around with a cloud over us, with you not looking, with a smiling, shining face upon us? What would take away that time in prayer? What immorality that we can do?